Good morning, Pilgrim. Another fine morning here in Hillsboro. I know it's a fine morning because I woke up this morning. A little cloudy this morning. Gonna cool down and maybe start raining again tomorrow, but it should be pretty nice today. I'm going to take up where I left off yesterday. Here am I, send me. Person offering himself is described in the chapter at very great length. He must be an Isaiah. Being an Isaiah, he must in the first place have felt his own unworthiness. My brother, my sister, if you are to be made useful by God in soul winning, you got to pass through the experience which Isaiah describes in the chapter before us. You must have cried in bitterness of spirit, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips." God will never fill you with himself until he has emptied you of yourself. Till you feel that you are weak as water, you'll never see the splendor of the divine power. May I ask then those of you who feel desirous to serve God this question. Have you been made fully conscious of your own utter unfitness to be employed in any work for God? Your own complete unworthiness of so great an honor as to become a servant of the living God? If you've not been brought to this, you must begin with yourself. You can't do any good to others. You must be born again. And one of the best evidences of you being born again will be a discovery of your own natural depravity and impurity in the sight of God. Now, beloved, I want you to notice how it was that Isaiah, he was made to feel his unworthiness. It was first by a sense of the presence of God. He says, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. Have you ever had a consciousness of the presence of God? The other day I was prostrated in soul, utterly prostrated with this one word, I am. There is everything in that title, the I am. God is the truest of all existences. With regard to all other things, they may or may not be, but I am. I am. It came with such power to me. I thought, here am I sitting in my little office here. Whether I am or whether not, that which surrounds me really is, may not be. It's a question, but God is. God is here. And when I speak God's word in his name, though I am nothing, God is everything. He's everything. And as to whether or not his word shall be fulfilled, there cannot be any question, because he is not called I was. He is not I was, I will be, but I am infinite, omnipotent, divine. Think of the reality of the divine presence, the certainty of that divine presence. Everywhere, close here, just now, I am. Oh God, if we be not yet, thou art. I scarcely think that any man is fitted to become a teacher of others till he has had a full sense of the glory of God crushing him right down into the dust, a full sense of that word, I am. You know, a man cannot pray without it, for we must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And if a man can't pray for himself, much less can he rightly teach others. There must be in the fullest conviction of the reality of God an overwhelming sight and sense of his glory, or you cannot benefit your fellows. The source of Isaiah's sense of nothingness was this, that Isaiah saw the glory of Christ. Oh, my dear friends, have you ever sat down and gazed upon the cross So having read your own pardon there, you've seen that cross rising higher and higher and up till it touched the heavens and overshadowed the whole globe. Then you've seen and felt the glory of Him who was lifted up and had bowed before the regal splendor of divine love, incarnate and suffering humanity and resplendent in agony and death. If you've ever beheld a vision of the crucified and felt the glory of His wounds, you will then be fit to preach to others. I've sometimes thought that certain brethren who preach the gospel with such meager power and such lack of unction have no true knowledge of it. There's no need to talk of it with bated breath. It is sneered at as being such a very simple tale. Believe and live, we say. But after all, no philosopher ever made such a disclosure, and if a senate of discoverers, a whole passel of scientists could sit through the ages, they couldn't bring to light any fact equal to this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Well, mayest thou open thy mouth boldly, when thou hast such a subject as this to speak about. But if ye have never perceived its glory, you are utterly incapable of fulfilling God's errand. To get the cross into one's heart, to bear it upon one's soul, and above all to feel the glory of it in one's whole being is the best education for a Christian missionary, whether he be at home or abroad. May you have such a sense of this streaming wounds of Jesus that you may hate your sins and loathe yourself, that you should have crucified such a blessed friend, and may you with eyes suffused with floods of penitential tears declare that for Jesus and for Jesus only you live and you'll die. We must feel a sense of unworthiness arising from a perception of the presence of God and the glory of the cross. It'll strike you too, dear friends, that the particular aspect in which this humiliation may come to us will probably be a sense of the divine holiness and the holiness of those who see His face. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. That was the song which overawed the prophet. What messengers are those who serve so holy a God? Those angels around the throne. From earth and all its grossness free, like flames of fire they flash at His command. Who then am I, a poor creature, cribbed, cabined, and confined within this house of clay? Who am I, a sinful worm of the dust, that I should aspire to the service of so thrice holy a God? Pilgrim beloved, you must learn solemn respect for the service of God, respect for Himself mainly, but respect for His service too, or you'll be unfit to serve Him. I would feel as if holy work were too great an honor for such base a creature, and be afraid lest you should touch the ark with unhallowed hand and share the fate of Uzzah. Lest like Nadab and Abihu, I should offer strange fire upon the altar and earn my own destruction. Let us serve the Lord with fear. Let us serve Him with fear and rejoice with trembling, fearful lest we should do mischief while seeking to do good and pollute the altar while attempting to offer sacrifice upon it. May we be broken down under the thought of the excellence of our Master Christ. May His work be very precious in our eyes. May we turn aside from every thought of boasting and all idea of serving God in our own strength and cry with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." This is the first qualification necessary for the service of God. And if you have it not, pray the Lord to give it to you. Dear hearers, you cannot go to heaven without it. Much more do heaven's work. You must be made to know you are a sinner yourself, or you can't call other sinners to Jesus. You must experience this disease in your own soul, and you must be made to loathe it as before the Most High, or else you will be a nuisance. an encumbrance in the vineyard of the Master, and you'll be quite unfit for any practical purpose of holiness and grace. And the next preparation for Christian work is we must possess a sense of mercy. Then flew one of the seraphims, and he took a live coal from off the altar. We explained in our reading earlier that the altar is for sacrifice, and that the lip must be touched with the coal of that sacrifice. Then being so touched, it derives two effects from that. In the first place, the lip is purged of iniquity. In the next place, it feels the influence of the fire, enabling it to speak with vehemence and force. Oh, beloved, hear, thou sayest perhaps in zeal this morning, I desire to serve Christ and to tell abroad the story of his cross. Well, have you proved that story to be true? Were you ever washed in a fountain? How can you bid others to come if you have never come yourself? Have your sins been put away? I hope so. Do you know it? I question if you can preach with any power till you have a full assurance of your own salvation. To teach the gospel with but and if, that's a poor teaching. You Sunday school teachers, you can't hope to do much good to others while you doubt your own acceptance in the Beloved. You must know that you're saved. If I had this morning to recommend a certain physician to you, and I said, I've been sick of the disease which he is able to cure, and I recommend him to you, you'd say, are you cured yourself? And if I spoke with hesitancy about it, you also would hesitate about believing in the physician. But if I could honestly say, I'm cured, aye, that I am. The bed of languishing is left behind, and the cheeks once pale and sunken have now become full of color and of life, and the blood leaps joyously in my veins. Then you would be more likely to be persuaded by my testimony, given positively, than in a hesitating manner. Beloved, you must feel a touch of that life goal. You must feel like Christ gave himself for you. You little faiths, you may get to heaven, but you must keep in the back ranks while here. We cannot put you in the front of the battle. No God may make you of service. We can't expect you to be eminently of service. The man who would serve God must know himself to be saved. The effect of that live coal will be to fire the lip with heavenly flame. Oh, says one man, a flaming coal will burn the lips so that the man cannot speak at all. That is just how God works. That is just how God works with us. It's by consuming the fleshly power that he inspires the heavenly power, the might of God, the might of the Word. Let the lip be burnt. Let the fleshly power of eloquence be destroyed. Oh, for that live coal to make the tongue eloquent with heaven's flame, heaven's power, the true divine power which urged the apostles forward, onward, made them conquerors of the whole world. Yeah, it's destructive of the flesh's power as the coal burns the lip, but it kindles in the man another and a higher power of more importance far. May we have such a touching of the lips. I would recommend every worker for Christ here to pause a while if he is not conscious of having received it. I don't say give up the work, but do pause a while. Get the tongue of fire. God has sent you. You may have that power if you diligently seek it. Hear this, you who are conscious of your own weakness and seek to be cleansed with the cold of sacrifice and heavy hearts touched therewith. And according to the text, a man who will be acceptable must offer himself cheerfully. Here am I! Though how few of us have in very deed given ourselves to Christ. It is with most professors, Here is my half guinea. Here is my annual contribution. But how few of us have said, here am I. No, we sing of consecration as we sing a great many other things which we have not realized. And we have sung it. We do not wish to be taken at our word. It is not, here am I, the man whom God will use, must in sincerity be a consecrated man. I have explained that he may keep still to his daily work, but he must be consecrated to God in it. He must sanctify the tools of his labor to God, and there's no reason. There's no reason why they should not be quite as holy as the brazen altar or the golden candlestick. Dear friends, we don't so much want your money as yourself. Your substance will follow when you have yielded up your person. Jesus gave you his riches and possessions, even to his garments, but he didn't stop there. He also gave himself. And if you'll make a return such as he will accept, you must, in addition to every other form of sacrifice, give spirit, soul, and body yourself. It's a whole burnt offering, saying, here am I. You'll observe that the person who thus volunteered for sacred service, he gave himself unreservedly. He didn't say, here am I, use me where I am. But send me. Where to? No condition as to place is so much as hinted at. Anywhere, 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 send me. Some people are militia Christians. They serve the king with a limitation. Must not be sent out of England. But others are soldier Christians who give themselves wholly up to their Lord and Captain. They will go wherever he chooses to send them. Some professors appear to belong to God by copyhold. They have limits. They grant a limited kind of divine right to their energies and substance, but there are many clauses which limit the holding. I hope that you are, dear friends, God's portion upon an absolute freehold. You are absolutely the Lord's, that he may do precisely as he wills with you. We greatly prefer a limited monarchy when man reigns. But when the Lord rules, we desire him to exercise unlimited power over us. So come, oh come, my master, be absolutely Lord of my soul. Reign over me, subdue me every passion to do and be and feel all that thy will ordains. Yeah, it was the good resolve of a good man to get as much as he could from God and to give the most he could to God. Blessed prayer. May we never be content till we get all that is to be gotten by way of joyful experience and holy power, nor until we yield all that is to be yielded by mortal man to the God whose sovereign right to us we claim. We would first spend and then be spent. So be used twice over for the Master. Here am I. Lord, send me. And one more thought. That while a prophet gives himself unreservedly, he gives obediently, for he pauses to ask directions. It is not, here am I, away I'll go, but here am I, send me. I like the spirit of that prayer. Some people get into their head a notion that they must do something uncommon, extraordinary, and though it may be most unreasonable and most irrational, it is for that very reason that the scheme commends itself to their want of judgment. Because it is absurd, they think it to be divine. If earthly wisdom does not justify it, then certainly heavenly wisdom must be called in to endorse it. Now, I conceive that you will find that whenever a thing is wise in God's sight, it's really wise. And that a thing which is absurd is not more likely to be adopted by God than by man. For though the Lord does use plans which are called foolish, they're only foolish to fools, but not actually foolish. There is a real wisdom, in their very foolishness. There is a wisdom of God in the things which are foolish to man. When a project is evidently absurd and ridiculous, it may be my own, but it cannot be the Lord's. And I had better wait until I can yield up my whims and subject myself to divine control, saying, "Here am I, send me." Only be willing to be sent. And when the sending comes, go about it in the strength of the Most High God. Well, I've just tried to explain who should be the proper person to offer himself. He is, in fact, a sincere Christian, a renewed in heart Christian, brought down by God the Holy Spirit into a state of obedience to his Master's will and made to wholly consecrate himself to his Master's service. How I wish that every member of this church belonged to such a consecrated body of soldiers for the Lord. May those of you who are not so minded be further drilled, be further practiced and trained by God the Holy Spirit till you can say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." Amen to that. I'll get back to this tomorrow. Meanwhile, pilgrim, think on these things. Do you belong to the Lord? Are you his soldier? Are you his servant? Are you his? Can you truly say? Can you truly ask him without holding back? "Here am I, send me." You can do that. Will you do that? God bless, pilgrim. Have a blessed day with our Lord Jesus.